There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question, kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday edition of the show. And nothing's changed with the phone line and the text line. They're the same as they ever have been for 16 years. You can get in on a text or a phone call at 343-0106. 343-0106. In addition to those ways to get in touch, if you've got the FM Talk 106.5 app there on your phone, all you do on the front page, you'll see that microphone icon. If you press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and I can play it back here on the air. And once again, too, I want to come back to what I've said all week. Now, this gets cranked up in November. I do it every November, Veterans Month. We don't just do Veterans Day around here. Do interviews with local veterans all the month of November. And I've been soliciting, and that's the right term, right, for some new folks. Now, I have 10 years of this. I got a lot of people that are on every year with me, veterans. But each year, I ask for some new people to join my list, and it's been a great week of this. If you're a veteran, you've got a family member, a friend of a veteran, send an email. And I know a lot of people like our text line super popular. But the problem is, because it's super popular, I don't, like, all the shows use it, and your text could be pushed down, hundreds of texts down. I wouldn't see it. So send me an email, Sean, and it's spelled the fast way, I call it, S-E-A-N, Sean, at fmtalk1065.com. It could be your name or the veteran you're talking about's name and contact info, and I'd like to get them booked for next month to come on in on the show as we do Veterans Month all November long. All right, glad to have y'all here, and good to get this man in studio. I've been watching his work and his work while he's on a tractor, and it's funny, this is... I guess this is the perfect radio station for me. The number of people that send me pictures onto the text line from when they're in the cab of a tractor, I love. But I watched this guy on social media, watched his view from the tractor, and listened to his words he says. And I've wanted to just sit down with him and talk farming for a long time. And it's good to have him in. Eric Street joins us on today's Midday Mobile. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for inviting me on the show, Sean. Glad to be here, brother.
It is it's a great thing to have you in. First of all, let's you're acquainted with probably 46 to 47% of the people live in Baldwin County. But for those who don't know who you are, what you do, your history, I mean, you're a homeboy to Baldwin County. And you come from a farming family, and you continue a farming family.
I grew up on a Baldwin County farm with my dad and his three brothers, the Street Brothers of Baldwin County. And in 1990, my brothers and I started farming March 28th, 1990. So this is our 35th crop.
Wow. So this is, here you are. I mean, think about this. Think about what y'all were doing, because I got a little discussion earlier with Eric when he hadn't even graduated high school yet. He's a senior, and he's getting right into the business. I mean, a lot of us had trouble tying our shoes when we were 17, 18 years old. And there you go. I mean, you go into business.
Yeah, baptized in the fire. But... You know, my brother Will, actually, it was his idea for us to start farming together, and he's no longer on the farm, but it was his idea, so I'll give credit where credit's due. My brother Toby farms with me today, and we row cropper in Baldwin County. So,
what do y'all farm? What crops?
Our biggest crops, peanuts, followed by corn, soybeans, wheat, oats, and cotton, and we grow a few pecans and ship a little bit of hay depending on the year.
So, I mean, y'all are diversified.
Yes, sir. Very much so.
And that's, I guess, you know, that obviously that's what it takes, because we're going to talk about different years, different commodities, different prices out there. So much of discussion about farming on this show deals with the politics around it, right? People talking about this policy, that policy. I'm glad to have you here, because I want to hear, like you tell folks on Facebook, what's real? What's real out there and what y'all are facing out there as farmers?
Well, I'd like to preface this by saying that I've been very, very fortunate and very blessed in the farm world for the last 35 years. We've certainly have our kicks, and right now we're in a kind of a downward spiral nationwide. It's not just local. The grain prices are terrible. Cotton is worse than terrible. Peanuts is kind of the highlight. We do have to make a quality, high-yielding crop to make money with that. But the thing in the grain world is it didn't just start since January the 20th,
right,
whenever Trump was inaugurated.
So you'll think about this the way it's framed in the news, that it's this new thing. It's not a new thing.
Absolutely not. Our prices were not any good last year on the grain front. And it's a bit of a misnomer. You know, we're talking about soybeans earlier, but since January, we've shipped 48% more corn out of this country, actually 46% more corn out of this country than we did the previous year. So I'm not sure why the price of corn is so cheap. I know we've got a tremendous crop, but every year they tell us this is the greatest crop since Christ created the world. But, you know, the thing going on in the soybeans with China is definitely not a plus. Eventually, I still stand on it. I'll vote for Trump again if I could. He's trying to help us. He's trying to wrestle the gorilla that's always fighting against us. He's trying to help us with that. And he helped us in his last administration. We took a little downturn in the markets, but I don't know where the money came from, but they compensated some of those losses. And then in 2021, we were back on top, and things kind of unraveled after that. But people can want to complain about what Trump's doing, but this price deal we've been dealing with on the farm was poor before he got re-inaugurated.
So, and I want to come back to that, too, the squeeze y'all are getting from both sides here, and not leaving much margin at all. But on the bean side, so China, big bean buyer, but they're not buying. They're buying from Brazil, which I don't know if Brazil can keep up with. I mean, nobody farms like American farmers. I mean, I don't know if their productivity levels and where they are. But
well, I think they're definitely beating us on the export. And right now, as of now, I don't know that we've shipped. I think we've shipped zero soybeans and other crops to China right now.
Where are the other markets for beans? So I mean, it's not like if China's gone, there's still got to be places outside our borders that want beans.
I mean, a lot of the stuff goes to Asia, different parts of Asia. I think Japan, South Korea. I think there's a couple other countries that buy from us. I don't know outside of the big China market where everything goes. It goes in lots of different directions.
China's not the only place, Eric, it can go.
No, but we need that market. Mm-hmm. We need it to come back. We definitely need that market to come back. But one of the problems that we face with the prices that we're dealing with, I hope it's okay for me to say this, but $10 beans wasn't a terrible price a few years ago. But every year these prices of our seed go up, the technology on everything goes up, every equipment manufacturer, it's not just John Deere, it's all of them, every one of them, they take advantage of us 8 ways to Sunday. There's no way else to say it.
Yeah, and to reset for people here that haven't been around farming here, so when he's talking about the commodity price, $10 beans, and you go some years, it's not always the same price, and he's going to talk about commodity prices per that grain harvest or whatever you're harvesting. It takes, for people to understand this, so he's going to get $10 for beans. What's it take to make that amount of beans? How much input cost of multiple kinds? And this is what I've watched, being even outside of this, that good years, when the price, you get a good price on beans, let's take beans, the input costs come up, like they follow the price up.
Yeah.
But then when y'all have bad years, I don't see the input costs come back down.
Very seldom do they ever come down. There's a few old chemistries.
It's like
that
taxes,
have come
y'all.
Down.
Don't come back down.
There's a few old chemistries that have come down, but the seed technology and all the current chemistry that we use to make a crop goes up every year. Every year. It never comes down. It never follows the trend of the markets. And I don't know what we can do about that. But
you think that they would, that they would at some point go, hey, these are our customers, and we're taking it. I mean, it looks, you could correct me here, but it looks like on a good year, they take advantage of the good year, and that price follows that commodity price up. But they know then that next year they're not having a good year, but they either maybe they hold them steady or something, but they don't drop them in commiserate. But it's like gas prices, you know, go up real fast but fall real slow.
Well, as fertilizer prices fluctuate, but just as a for instance, in 2012, corn went to $8 a bushel, which is a tremendous price. All right, there's a fluctuation of probably 4 million acres of corn that's produced in this U.S. of A. every year. Okay,
it's meaning not, how much of that ground farmers decide to put in corn instead of something else?
It's like 90 plus million acres, roughly. It's either
side.
But you
said 4 million. It switches depending
somewhere
on
in that neighborhood.
Okay,
so it's not a surprise to the manufacturers that they need X number of products to produce nitrogen, mm-hmm. whatever chemical or seed for those acres. But when the corn went to $8, I get a call on a Sunday night from a local provider of fertilizer. They don't manufacture it. They're just a seller of it.
Broker, yeah.
And he says, we got a problem. His name was Travis. He says, Eric, we got a problem. I said, what's the problem? He said, urea just went up. It went up $50 an acre in one night because corn went up. It's not a supply and demand.
That's what I was going to get at. Explain that to folks. It's not because folks listen here that aren't in that business will say, well, something else happened. Y'all having a better return on your crop, right?
Yeah, it's a price gouge, and it's not a supply and demand market. That's a false statement because they know
like
the
these farmers got some extra money. Look what they're getting. They're getting $8 for corn.
Let's go up. Yeah, and if a guy went to New Orleans after Katrina and sold a bag of ice for $10, he's going to get put in jail for price gouging.
Preach. I mean, people would be exactly right. And this is – and it's so the idea that these – because people think, okay, here's the price y'all are getting – but y'all, it cost a farmer per acre a certain amount to produce that crop, and so what they're left with is the price difference between what you're getting an acre in corn or beans or whatever, and what it costs you to produce that. So you think occasionally you'd have a good year that you produce a lot, and the prices stayed kind of the same.
Well, like I said earlier, we've had some opportunities to do really well in the last 35 years, but the sector has been messed up for several years now. It's been many years since we really had a level playing field where, you know, it's very seldom that every crop you produce on a farm like ours that hits every year,
mm-hmm.
and it's a good price every year. But that's why we're diverse. That's part of life. It's part of farming in this part of the world. It's a tremendously tough area to farm in. We get a lot of rainfall, and that can work for our benefit, but it can also hurt us. But it's just a factor that, right now, these markets we're in, the whole country is affected negatively. Just for instance, we just produced over a 200 bushel an acre corn crop, which any guy that farms in the Southeast would jump up and down all day long for that. And most of my friends are in that neighborhood of farm production. It cost us $750 to $800 an acre to grow that acre of corn. And yesterday I sold 7,000 bushels, $4 FOB, which is $4 back to the farm. Well, do the math. With a record crop, there's no margin of profit in that acre of corn, and we're just blessed that we
on
made
a, on
the
a
corn
great
dip.
Year,
a great year, near perfect, near almost a. It's not the record on our farm, but it's in the top three.
And there's so don't just think about the numbers. People are going to ask a question here too. Why the heck when that's do you keep doing it?
Well, this is the thing. All of us want to keep hanging on and. I can't speak for other guys' farms. We've just been blessed, and my dad taught me a long time ago. He said he never called me by my name till I was about 25. He said, boy, when 1990, when we signed the dotted line to get in debt to buy the farm, he said, you can get in more debt in 5 minutes and you can pay back in 40 years. And we've lived on that, and we obviously had to get in terrible debt to get where we are, but right now we're not carrying a big debt load. And that's how we survived.
Your dad and my grandfather would have gotten along famously, for sure. Coming right back, more with Baldwin County farmer Eric Street. He's our guest this hour on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1223 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along, and great to get Baldwin County farmer Eric Street in studio with us. I want a lot of text here, but I'm going to level this one right here from Ashley in Loosedale. as we get started here. You ready, Eric? Ashley says, and they farm, Loosedale area, her husband farms. Mid-1990s, a bag of cottonseed cost $50 a bag. Now it's $400 plus, and that includes the technology fee, she said. So you told me during the break, let's talk about this in corn.
Yeah, well, and I was telling Sean, in 1992, we averaged 150-something bushels per acre of corn on our farm, which was an excellent crop back in those days. Still not terrible, but excellent then. And corn seed back then was $65 a bag. And back in March when we started planting corn, we're paying $350 for the good stuff. And we got a 50-bushel gain on our average, but we have I could produce an acre of corn in 1992 for about $200 for everything.
And you just told us it's $800 now, right?
Yeah. But for everything, $250 max if you were paying high rent. But that's every nut, bolt, insurance, tags on pickups, everything it takes to run that farm. And we were getting $3 roughly a bushel, $350 a bushel, depending. I mean, and it's fluctuated. We don't always, but earlier in the season, I think in September, the market dipped down into $370. So 30-year-ago prices.
But 2025 input costs.
Correct.
You know, and you talk about all the things that lead to input costs. A lot of times we focus on fertilizer on this show because a lot of people see it. And, heck, you know, everybody sees it right now because they go plant their deer patches.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. You know, deer hunters can feel our pain.
You know, and I mean, I've got it from the ag side and the deer side. So, I mean, there's just one input that everybody understands. That's gone up in the last two decades in an incredible way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's probably... I bought a lot of fertilizer in my life. Anhydrous is less than $200 a ton, which is the nitrogen source we used back in the 90s. We don't get to use it anymore because of the, for lack of a better way, just drug dealers stealing it,
yeah,
using it to manufacture meth somehow. I don't know how that worked, but we don't.
Remember they were stealing? Y'all remember this back then when the meth stuff was big here, that farmers were losing their anhydrous from the tanks there on the farm?
Yeah, over in Grand Bay, it happened several times.
So you can't use that, but you've got, cost, you've got to spend this money to make this many bushels. But the problem is that doesn't what y'all are getting paid. I mean, okay, if the commodity price, and just pick one, that would go corn or something, had tracked with what the input costs were, what would you be making? You know what I'm saying? Like, what would a bushel of corn be? I mean, if it
$15, $16, $18 a bushel,
there we go.
We don't need that.
No, but that's, I'm just trying to get people to understand, like, what it takes y'all, they would say, well, everything's inflation. Okay. Well, what it takes y'all in input cost, that would reflect if the same kind of inflation tracked, we'd be looking at $18 a bushel.
The rest of the world gets that. And this is the thing that I was telling my sister earlier today. We were talking. When you go to the grocery, the products, there's a lot, everything, not everything, but lots of products have wheat, corn, or soy in them,
mm-hmm,
and peanut butter. We're a big producer of peanuts. And in 2012, we were getting a great price for peanuts, like $700, $750 a ton. Peanut butter in the store then was way cheaper than it is today.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're $250 off of that. We're getting around $500 a ton if you got a contract. If you were blessed enough to get a contract, not every guy got one. And the price of peanut butter is way higher in the store.
$250 less than y'all were getting back then.
Absolutely.
And the price of peanut butter, y'all looked, is... way higher.
Nothing in the most things in the store. I think eggs have recently dropped off.
Mm-hmm.
Some, I don't know all the dynamics. I'm not an egg farmer, but the products in the store should be cheaper because they're stealing these products from us.
Right.
I mean, stealing is not the right word, but we're getting ripped off from the product that we're shipping.
Y'all remember we talked about this a bunch, even not just me talking about it, but Danny Lipford even was in here talking about it with me, because when during the supply chain issues and all that, when lumber got so expensive, everybody said, well, y'all that cut trees, I'm one of those people, y'all cut trees, y'all must be making a killing. And we all about fell out the chair laughing. We're getting nothing. It was the in-between from the producer of that, you know, place where they're logging those pines, getting it to the local, you know, box store that sells you 2x4s or, you know, that's where the money was. And the producer wasn't getting the money. Same thing went on with beef there for a while, too. I mean, the producers weren't getting it. So a lot of people will see the final product. They'll say, Eric, look at this peanut butter cost me this much. Y'all must be making a killing. You know?
Well, we are very grateful for peanuts because that has been our highlight. It's been the horse that pulls the wagon the hardest for the last 20 years. And we're very blessed to have been able to grow that crop in Baldwin County.
But you're getting less than you were back then, and your input costs are higher.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything's higher. And now because peanuts is about the only thing that there was a room for any profit, they're going to be overproduced because guys are desperate to try to make a crop and make a living. But for the 2026 crop, I've talked to some of the buyers.
Yeah, go ahead.
And $390, $400 is what they're talking for next year. Maybe.
Coming right back, and got some good text coming in here as well. We'll get your questions answered by Eric Street, Baldwin County Farmer, right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:34, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Good to have Eric Street, Baldwin County Farmer, in with us. Answered some of y'all's questions from the text line and a lot of questions from me as well. Ella sent me some, I got to get into this. This is USDA 2024 soybean experts by country. Look at the difference between China and the EU. I'll have to click that through in a second. Monty says, companies and corporations never let a crisis go to waste. How these people sleep at night, I can't understand. These are our farmers and they deserve better than this. You know, that's one thing you and I talked about off air is the number of farmers 1940. Right? World War II. What percentage of families had they farmed, they grew up on the farm, and where we are now?
Yeah, I think I'd have to look back, but at least 40%+ of the population, maybe 50%, was on the farms up until the war. And then, you know, as awful as World War II was, it did push this country ahead in different innovations and factories, and the men and women went to the factories to work for the war effort. And post-World War II, there's been less and less people on the farm. There's been massive equipment produced. And then chemicals have been introduced into production of farming post-World War II. It's not a new thing that everybody seems to think in the last 20 years. It's been going on since then.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've come a long way since that time. My dad was a child during World War II, and he vividly remembers all that. And we've had some wonderful advancements in technology and being able to produce a lot bigger, more productive, healthier crop.
And also this country decided, we've talked about this on other things, when other things have come up on the show, Farm Bill and all that, the country decided we better be able to feed ourselves. We can feed the planet too, but we're not going to be, look at other countries, look what happens, and all of a sudden they have to have another country to feed them. That would make me real nervous if we ever got in that position here.
Well, hopefully we won't. Hopefully there'll be something to keep us afloat. And part of national security has been able to feed ourselves. And
100%. You know, that's part of our policy. Yeah.
We all want to go to the local supermarket and buy every fruit and vegetable we can ever dream of any time, day or night. And thank God that we have that. But we need to make it where these other countries are buying our product if we're buying them, and get that trade deficit swapped around some as well.
100%. Scott texts this question, and he said, Eric, what's the single biggest driver of high cost? Is it big ag or big investment funds companies driving higher investment returns?
Not sure I follow exactly, but the biggest thing that we fight, there's multiple facets, but equipment is outrageous. For instance, this morning at daylight, I was inverting peanuts with a tractor that's 20 years old. It's got 10,000 hours on it. We paid $88,500 for that tractor. It still looks like brand new. We take very good care of our equipment. We have multiple units and some newer. Today, that same tractor is almost $400,000. And in 2005, we were getting probably $415 a ton, roughly, for our peanuts. Today, we're getting $525. The math is way off.
It's way off.
And it's not just picking on one equipment dealer, not a dealer, but equipment manufacturer. They're all way overpriced. The chemical side of it, the seed side of it, it's ridiculous what we have to pay for these products. And we have some awesome tools to make tremendous crops. But the new chemistry that we're using is very expensive. The new seed we're using is very expensive. And the margins, they just keep squeezing us. And I'll clarify something real quick, that I'm not here to complain and whine about how bad my life is. It's been wonderful. I've been afforded a wonderful lifestyle, but it just goes back to God blessing us and having people that raised me, that gave me some God good sense.
Your dad told you not to
get in debt. Yeah.
I mean,
to stay out of it as much as possible.
And you're talking about equipment, too. Yeah, there's people having you discuss the cost of equipment. I mean, you talked about that tractor right now. I mean, look at just harvesting equipment. I mean, heck, I looked at a hay baler the other day.
Fancier than a hay baler. Close to $1 million.
Y'all think about that. When you see combines running.
I mean, we can buy one for less than that, but a cotton picker, they come out with a new roller picker around 2010, roughly, is $500,000. Now I think it's 1.2. And it'll go a little bit faster, but at the end of the day, it's not $700,000 more value there than what it cost in 2010.
This kind of tracks my discussion of college degrees, too, in the state, how much it costs my nephews when they went to Alabama versus when I did. And I said the jobs didn't come up that much in money. You know, it's not tracking. So you look at this, it also brings up another side discussion we probably don't have time for today, is the right to repair and all that on equipment as well. You know, keep so you can maintain it yourself versus, you know.
Yeah, I think there was a lawsuit where we were able to, we can do some of that our own if we have the technology, but good luck on finding it. And that's another thing, this new technology is wonderful, but, and I love my local dealers. I'm not putting the dealers down, whether it's the seed dealer or the chemical or the equipment. I love those guys and gals. We love them. They're my friends, and they help me every day. But they're so slammed with this new technology because it's not easy to figure out. So it's wonderful when it works.
Is it on that technology? Because I'm not running anything new on my farm. So is it like, you know how your computer or your phone wants to do an update, and you're like, I didn't need the update. I was good with the way it was running. Do you think there's new technology coming on that y'all aren't asking for in the ag world?
Sure. We're glad to have some of the technology, but a lot of the technology that's offered and forced on us isn't necessary. There's parts in the world that can certainly utilize it, but it would be great if they would make some base of equipment, give you the option to buy all the new stuff.
Like when you get a truck, you can get the XL or the XLT.
Yeah.
Or the, you know.
Something that doesn't cost $500,000 that should cost $200,000.
I mean,
and then the $10.
You could say, "Hey, I don't want that." Right? Yeah, I don't want that feature.
And then the $10 beans are finer, but 60-cent cotton that we're getting right now, that wasn't good 30 years ago. That's still a terrible. That was 30.
You said, I mean, you told me that cotton is worse than bad. I mean, cotton, and somebody texted me the other day. I think it was Ella texted me the other day how bad cotton was.
Well, the infrastructure for all the cotton, the local gin in Theodore had to shut down because of that. The one that we were then we moved to one in Monroe County. Monroe County gin had to shut down because of. There's just not enough cotton being produced because guys can't make a living producing that crop. And we need cotton for our rotation.
Mm-hmm. Especially on peanut crop.
It's absolutely the best rotation for peanuts. Mm-hmm. And we need that crop. But
well, if you have nowhere to take those modules to and sell, I mean
it's a you're losing $200 or $300 an acre when you grow cotton versus what you can get out of it, even on a record crop.
People go listen to you talk. Say why do it?
Well, most guys are getting out of are forced out of it. The banker's not going to let them.
You know, you talk about peanuts too. Here, Jerry says peanuts are all that's keeping my place alive. I was lucky enough to have an allotment in Southwest Georgia. The little corn I grow goes to market on four legs. I grind my own feed. What happened to the potato crop in Baldwin County?
Well, a lot of that's to do with the weather changes. Guys just kept getting hammered. Increased cost and huge losses, and we have such a tremendous amount of rainfall in Baldwin, and not just Baldwin County, but the three surrounding counties, but I don't farm in those counties, so it's an indirect effect. But Baldwin County used to grow like 40 or 50,000 acres of potatoes.
But, that much.
But markets have changed. There's a few family farms that grow potatoes, Irish potatoes in Baldwin County. I think the Sermons and McKenzie's and maybe one or two other small guys. And they're awesome farmers. But they've struggled to keep a good market for that product because the markets have changed. It's not just a weather situation, but mm-hmm. it's a market as well.
You're getting hit two ways?
Yes.
Let's see. This is also a side note. I mean, Marty says he works for Mobile Fire Rescue Department. Fire apparatus has skyrocketed. Fire engines now, I'm learning stuff, fire engines north of $1 million each. Just the engine. Our newest ladder truck was $2.5 million, and that's with nothing on it, no extra equipment.
Yeah, it's just the whole sector of
that's gauge, and y'all, that's getting every one of us to pay taxes. If you pay taxes wherever there's a fire department, ask you to get a new truck. This question, I figured this would come up, and this texter, unnamed texter, said, farmland's quickly disappearing in Baldwin County. So that's a discussion too, right?
All right, well, I see people in town in Fairhope all the time where I hang out a lot with different friends and whatnot, and they're like, why is all the farmers selling their land? And I'm like, well, you're about 40 years behind. During the late 80s, a lot of that started changing because the squeeze of poor crops, dry weather, 20% interest rates, and a lot of guys were in the shape that they're getting in now. Mm-hmm. And they had to disperse some of that land. So most of the land that we farm is leased outside of my family owns a fair amount of land that we lease. But it's not owned by farmers, and it hasn't been owned by farmers 40, 50 years. So you can't – there's – Baldwin County farmland land rent is really reasonable in the scope of farming. We don't want it to increase, but it's reasonable. We have farms in three states, and Baldwin County by far is the least land rent that we are dealing with. But long story short, there's not enough money being made off the farm, whether it be the landowner or the farmer, to justify owning that property.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to see we live in a very
because if they make
place.
The rent go up more, that you, at a certain point people are going to say I'm not going to rent that.
No, they're going to sell it for $40,000 an acre. You can't fault them. It changes someone's life when it's that kind of money.
Mm-hmm. That's why fewer farming families, maybe bigger farms out there. Let's see the. This one is a question on, well, we talked about fertilizer prices. What other input costs do you have? So, I mean, we talk about diesel prices, heck.
Well, diesel's a factor, and it's certainly a lot bigger factor than it used to be because it's, I think, what's off-road fuel, around $3, $2.90, mm-hmm. I think we paid for some recently. And if you buy 10,000 gallons, you might get a better deal than that. It's certainly a factor, but it's probably, since it's, it was $4 or $5 a few years ago. It's not really on the radar. It's certainly an expense, and we certainly care about it. But
you can't project that one very well.
No.
There's some kind of thing that can happen half a world away, Eric, that all of a sudden you didn't see that trend coming. All of a sudden that diesel comes up by, a dollar a gallon. That's big, even with that red dye stuff.
Oh, absolutely. It makes a difference.
All right. Coming right back, more of y'all's questions and more of our conversation with Eric Street, Baldwin County Farmer, right here on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:50 and about another 7-8 minutes here with Eric Street, Baldwin County Farmer. And y'all could do maybe he'll get, well, if you happen to find him on Facebook and friend him, I do enjoy, watching what you put up on social media because I get to watch what you're doing. You're planting peanuts that day or you're turning peanuts or you're harvesting corn or whatever, but you're also talking while you're doing it, and I really do enjoy what you put out there. It's a great service to kind of the real world of farming. If y'all want to keep up with what's real out there.
Well, thank you for saying that.
This texter said, would you discuss the government subsidies?
Well, so the government subsidies, there are some from time to time. The last few years have been way down from what we have had opportunities for in the past. Sometimes it's tied to the market. Sometimes it's tied to some type of disaster. And I will say this, that there's not a farm standing, a legit farm in this U.S. of A that would be standing, unless it's some small vegetable farm or someone like that, that could stand farming without the help. We are very grateful to get whatever we get if it's available. When times are down like this, it's just like now Trump saying he's going to use some of this tariff money to try to offset some of this pain.
To me, that makes sense. It's like, it's a hot button issue, but when a gas tax pays for roads, to me that makes sense. Like, okay, use the road, pay for the road. If the tariffs are causing some of this trouble, especially for beans, use that money to help defray the cost, because, like you said, you're hoping for a better scenario down the road. Not the rest of your life you don't sell beans to China, but to get this thing straight.
Well, most farmers want their money to come from the market. We don't want to come from the mailbox.
Right. And but you got to be here next year to get it from the market.
We need it to be here, and we're at a disadvantage with the playing field that we've been put on. And like I said, I'll say it again, it's not because of Trump. These markets were not good before he was inaugurated the second time. The media is always on that side trying to beat him down on what he's trying to do. But back on the subsidy thing, we've certainly participated in some. It's not a topic most guys want to talk about, but there have been some subsidies that we participate in. And I will gladly participate because of the playing field that we've been put on with the equipment, with the inputs. And when we sell our crop, we don't set the price. You know, like you build a house and you say, I want X for it. We don't get to do that. The Chicago Board of Trade trades corn every day, business days, unless it's during holidays. Obviously, they're not. And we get to trade within the parameters of that market. And for the last year, there's been very little opportunity to sell your corn projected production for a profitable number. And I sold a lot of corn back in the spring, thankfully, when it was higher. So we were blessed in that. But it's just, you never know exactly what you're going to produce. You can't oversell, because then you'll have to write them a check.
Yeah, because you can't fill the order.
That's right.
But at the same time, I don't see that same behavior out of the people that are selling you inputs.
No.
they know, it'd be almost like, I don't know, we could do a national farmer's strike or something like that. To say, here's the price on this input. And everybody one day says, nah. Of course, they'd smoke all the farmers out, because eventually you got to get crops in the ground. But, you know, that's the thing. Y'all have to deal with that. But the people you buy from aren't on that same train.
No, definitely not.
I mean, it's two different deals.
And, you know, the problem with that, as much as I love my fellow farmers, and I love them dearly, it's part of my fabric of my soul to be a farmer. But to get all those guys and gals together to try to agree on something like that, but
I'll organize it. We'll have a big cookout. We'll get everybody together.
Yeah, it would be pretty awesome for everybody to sit down for a week and say, we're not shipping another product
until
this changes.
I mean, there's strength in numbers out there. Speaking of other farmers, so I know there's another one, a Baldwin County farmer who listened to the show. John texted in and said, all these things that Eric is speaking of is 100% truth. And for these reasons, as sad as it is, I am not encouraging my children to get interested in agriculture. I'm encouraging careers in medicine, engineering, accounting, business ownership of any kind, just not agriculture. Sadly, I feel my family's 100-plus-year-old farm is in its short rows. That's tough. John and Eric, that's why I sit here. That's what happened to my family. That's why I do it for fun. I don't do it for a living, because my family went through exactly that.
Well, and a lot of that went on in the last half of the 80s. Fortunately, my family's farm, which is separate than ours, but my dad and his brothers somehow or another forged ahead and continued to be able to hang on through those years. But lots and lots of farms across nationwide went out of business and during that time, and it pushes to be a bigger farm, and I'm picking on equipment companies, but they make this massive equipment that's overpriced, and it creates a lot of greed amongst the farmers to be able to, you buy $1 million cotton picker, you got to shove that thing through a couple thousand acres to really justify it. And right now with the cotton price, there's no money to be made.
So that's why I wonder, Eric, when that shows up in this marketplace. By the way, I'm going to read this quote from a texter, and this is something I've heard from farmers forever. Farmers are the only people that have to buy and sell, have to buy, buy retail and sell wholesale, right? I mean, that's yeah. that's the reality there. But it's, you wonder if, okay, cotton's not bringing anything. So anything from a module cover to a cotton picker, anything, if those prices would go down because who's going to buy the new equipment because the cotton price isn't any good. Yeah, just it doesn't seem to be reflected in equipment cost.
They go up every year, and, you know, no, this is the thing. No one holds a gun to our head to do what we're doing to make a living. I love what I do more than life itself, and short of loving God and my family, it's my passion, it's my calling, and I hope and pray I can continue. This is 35 years, and overall it's been really good. My family was blessed doing it. We just want to be able to forge ahead, and we need some things to change drastically in the markets to where guys can continue to be profitable. It's not a sin for a farmer to make a dollar. And
why are you climbing the cab of that tractor?
You know what I mean? We're not looking for a handout. We just want to be able to work hard, provide a good crop, and sell it for a profit. And, you know, it's survival of the fittest, but right now no one is fit to fight this fight.
And if there's, I mean, and we just got a minute left and then we're done for now, but I'm going to have you come back. If y'all, we have a say in it because now y'all aren't just in business. You're in business feeding us. You're in business giving the security of this country. If we don't have y'all and we lose a generation of people, if John's kids and people like me didn't get in ag, where are we in 50 years? Where's all that knowledge and wisdom?
Yeah, I hate to see where we are in 50 years, but I'll say this. I keep saying it, but thank God we have the leadership in place right now to try to help offset some of that and try to steer it back in the right direction. And there's a lot of fine people in this country. It's not all bad as we sometimes think.
Right.
Lots of good people, men and women in this country, and there's still opportunity for this country to stay on track. We just need this sector to get back on the track for these families to come, be able to continue to farm, and the young people to get involved.
100%. I sure appreciate you coming over today.
Well, thank you for having me, brother.
And we'll get you back soon. Get that frontline, firsthand information. Eric Street Farms out there. And maybe give him a honk as you go down the road. And you see him. Y'all turning peanuts right now. So honk, honk, and go on by. Thank you, man.
All right.